Chris. Thank you, choir. God bless you. We are grateful for you leading us this morning and sharing with us that message, Christ is born for you. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to find John chapter 11 and verse 45. John chapter 11 and verse 45. As you're finding John's gospel and that chapter and that verse, and we're still thinking about Christmas and the Christmas story, I want to let you know this morning after we finish John 11, next Sunday morning, we'll be looking at the Christmas story from Matthew's gospel. That'll be December the 18th. And then, if you were not aware, Christmas in 2022 is actually on Sunday. December the 25th is a Sunday. We will be having our morning worship service that morning at our normal time. However, we will not be having Sunday school small groups before that, and we will not be having our evening worship, but I'll be sharing from Luke's gospel on Sunday morning, December the 25th, the Christmas story. So the next two Sunday mornings, December the 18th from Matthew's gospel and December the 25th from Luke's gospel, we will be hearing the Christmas story on those next two Sunday mornings. If you have found John chapter 11 and verse 45, would you stand this morning in honor of God's word? Follow along as I read on the screens behind me or in your copy of the scriptures as we think about only two choices. Only two choices. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not the whole nation should perish." Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. And then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it that they might seize him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the story of Christmas that we have had sung to us this morning. And we thank you, Father, for your word for which we give our attention toward now. We pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And Lord, please turn our hearts to you and to your will and to your way above all else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. And you may be seated. If you were here last Sunday morning, we were in John chapter 11, and we looked at verses 1 through 44. And in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44, we were introduced to a very close friend of the Lord Jesus, a man by the name of Lazarus. And Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And if you'll remember in the story, Lazarus was sick. And Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, with the implication of, Jesus, won't you come and heal him? Won't you come and save his life? Well, if you'll remember, Jesus did not get to Lazarus before Lazarus died. He physically died and was physically buried. But God had a plan. Jesus had a plan. And it was to bring Lazarus back to life. And we saw that on the pages of Scripture. Lazarus was in the tomb. He had been there parts of 4 days. And Jesus, having a plan, demonstrating his omnipotence, called Lazarus from the tomb. And what happened? Lazarus came forth. The dead man was walking. Well, how do you respond to that? How do you respond to that miracle in John chapter 11? Well, we know that Mary and Martha believed. But what about the others? Well, there are only two choices. And I want you to see those choices this morning in our text from John chapter 11. The first choice, like Mary and like Martha, is to believe. To believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Look at verse 45, if you will. The text says, "Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary." Now, I'm not sure why John says Mary instead of Martha, or doesn't say Mary and Martha, because certainly there were many friends who had come to these two women to comfort them during their time of need. But John simply wrote, "Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him." They believed in him as the promised Messiah. They believed in him as their personal Lord and Savior because of what they had seen him do. John just simply says, "Seen the things Jesus do or did." But what all did they see? Well, let's think back for just a moment in John's gospel. If you will remember, John's gospel is built around 7 miraculous signs. And these 7 miraculous signs have a very specific purpose. After the first miraculous sign, listen to John chapter 2 and verse 11. John writes, "This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Brothers and sisters, that was the purpose for Jesus performing all 7 of these miraculous signs, for the people to see and believe. That is a choice that even we have today. We have read about these 7 signs. Remember that the very first sign here in John chapter 2 was when Jesus turned water to wine. And he reminded us that he is the one who can bring something from our nothing. The second sign was when Jesus healed the nobleman's son. But do you remember what was unique about that sign? Jesus wasn't looking at the nobleman's son. Jesus wasn't touching the nobleman's son. The nobleman's son was in the next town over, 15 to 20 miles away, and yet Jesus healed him, demonstrating that he is the Lord and Master over distance. And then the third sign. The third sign was when Jesus healed the paralytic. Do you remember how long he had been paralyzed? 38 years. The overwhelming majority of his life, he had been paralyzed and unable to walk. But what happened? Jesus healed him, demonstrating that he is also Lord and Master over time. It matters not how long you have been paralyzed. It matters not how long you have been lost. It matters not how long you have been in rebellion. Jesus can heal you because he is Lord and Master over time. Do you remember the fourth miraculous sign? Jesus took 5 biscuits and 2 sardines, and he fed in excess of 5,000 people, demonstrating that he was the bread of life and that he can satisfy you eternally. But then there was a fifth sign, a fifth miraculous sign there on the pages of Scripture in John chapter 6, when Jesus walked on water. It wasn't simply a low spot. It wasn't a floating log. It wasn't a sandbar. He suspended the laws of nature and he walked on water, and then he calmed the storm, demonstrating that he is Lord and Master over nature. His sixth miraculous sign was found in John chapter 9, and he healed the man born blind, reminding us that he is the light of the world. And even if you are spiritually blind, he can heal you, giving you spiritual sight. And then last Sunday morning, John chapter 11, the miracle of all miracles, demonstrating that he is Lord and Master over life and death. Lazarus had physically, literally died, was in the tomb parts of 4 days, and Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth. And these are the miraculous signs that we have seen on the pages of Scripture. And there in verse 45, many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him. And that is a choice that I share with you this morning. But there's a second choice. It's the second of two. And there are only two choices as it relates to how will you respond to the things that Jesus did. Look there in verse 46. But some, demonstrating the contrast, the difference between those in verse 45 and those in verse 46. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Notice they didn't deny that Jesus did the miraculous signs. They didn't deny that he had turned the water to wine, and they'd healed the nobleman's son, and he'd healed the paralytic, and he'd fed the thousands, and he walked on water and calmed the storm and healed the blind man and raised Lazarus. They didn't deny that. But they chose not to believe. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some of you here this morning. You have chosen not to believe. If I could make that decision for you, I promise you I would. If I could make the decision to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if I could make that decision for you, and I'm confident there are countless others in the room who would make that decision for you as well. However, that is a personal decision. That's a decision that I can't make for you. I can't make it for my wife. I can't make it for my children. I can't make it for anyone but me. And only you can make that choice for you. You see, there are only two choices. There are only two choices when it comes to what will you do with Jesus. The choice to believe in him as your personal Lord and Savior, or the choice not to believe in him as your personal Lord and Savior. The first choice results in forgiveness of sin, a personal relationship with Christ, heaven, and eternal life. The choice not to believe results in having to pay for and be accountable for your own sin, as well as not having a relationship with Jesus Christ and spending an eternity separated from God in a place that the Bible calls hell. There are only two choices: the choice to believe and the choice not to believe. I wanted to show you one more thing in our text this morning, and then I'm going to be done. Notice in verse 47, as they gathered this group of chief priests and Pharisees, and they asked the question, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about Jesus? For he's working these many signs. And verse 48 says, if we let him alone like this, everyone is going to follow him, and then they're going to overthrow what we're trying to do. And then Caiaphas, verse 49, Caiaphas steps up. He's the high priest for the year. And notice what he says in verse 50. He says, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Caiaphas says, it's better that one man die. So let's go ahead and put in motion the plans to seize Jesus and to execute Jesus. It's better that one man die rather than the whole nation. I mean, come on, guys. And yet what Caiaphas was saying is ironically true. Because what Caiaphas was saying, unbeknownst to him, look at John's editorial comments there in verses 51 and 52. Now this he did not say on his own authority. Well, whose authority was he saying it on? He was saying it on God's authority. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So think about what John is saying about Caiaphas' comments. That he would die for the nation of Israel, but he would also die for those who had been scattered abroad and who would be regathered again. But think about this. Applying it further, Jesus Christ not only dying for the sins of the church, but the sins of the entire world. So that anyone who might believe would be saved. One last verse that I want to show you. It's the same author, a different book of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. Listen to the text. And he himself, talking about Jesus, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. That word propitiation means he's the satisfaction. He is the one who satisfied God's wrath on sin with his death on the cross. But he just didn't satisfy God's wrath on sin for the church, for us, John says, but for the entire world. And so that's why we can say and we can sing, as our choir did just moments ago, that Christ was born for you. Jesus Christ, he was born for you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, and he died for you. And I invite you today to believe in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. In just a moment after I finish praying, Brother Chris is going to come and he is going to lead us in a very familiar song of invitation. And while we're standing and singing all across the room, I'm going to be here at the front. Brother Ronnie's going to be here at the front. And if today you recognize that you have never made the choice to believe, I invite you to believe this morning. I invite you to put your faith and trust in Christ. Maybe some of you are here today and you have never officially and formally united with a local church. Or maybe you are sensing God is leading you to formally and officially unite with Emory Baptist Church. We'd love to welcome you today. If you were here last Sunday morning, you saw an individual be baptized. Be baptized as a symbol and a picture of Jesus washing away our sin. If today you need to follow through in believer's baptism, we would invite you to come today. Let's talk more about that and schedule a time for you to do that. But as it relates to Jesus, there are only two choices. The choice to believe and the choice not to believe. Today I invite you to believe. Let's pray together. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, again, after I finish praying, if you would respond publicly this morning to today's invitation, I would invite you to step out on one of the aisles, make your way here to the front. Brother Ronnie and I would love to welcome you, to celebrate with you, to pray with you, to rejoice with you, to counsel with you. Our invitation will be for you. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you for the message that we've heard in song and the message that we've heard from the scriptures. Father, help us not to overcomplicate the matter, but to understand that there are only two choices. The choice to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and the choice not to believe. Father, I pray today that there would be many who would make the choice to believe. We love you. We're grateful for your love for us. And thank you, Father in heaven, that your Son Jesus died on the cross for our sins and in our place, but not only for ours, but for the entire world, so that anyone who puts their faith and trust in Christ might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Chris comes to lead us, and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. This morning, we invite you to respond.